From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment, which you can also hear at KCRW.com. I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guest, Utah native Trevor Groth, started as an intern at the Sundance Film Festival in 1991, the first year it was renamed the Sundance Film Festival, and has been there ever since, mostly paid. Affable and ambitious, he's known around the world as the champion of independent film that pushes boundaries. He's now in his third season as Sundance Director of Programming, and he was also Artistic Director of the CineVegas Film Festival. He's a friend of mine, and I'm thrilled to have him here. Trevor, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, Elvis.
Having really grown up at a film festival, I wonder how you, at what point you started to define your sensibility as a programmer, because yours, the kind of stuff you tend to pick is definitely more outside of the mainstream and I hate to use the word edgier, but let's say less conventional in narrative terms than most film.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's a good question. The first time I went to the Sundance Film Festival, I was a senior in high school. It was 1989. And, you know, I saw a few films. It was always, it seemed like this place that was not for, you know, people not in the industry. Even back then, it had a little bit of that reputation. And, you know, for a high school kid, I just sort of took a chance. I snuck up there and I saw a couple films. I think I saw Heathers.
Was that the first thing you saw?
Yeah, Heathers was the very first film I saw at the Sundance Film Festival. And then I saw Sex, Lies, and Videotape. That was the year that that launched and really kind of put Sundance on the map as a discovery festival. I also saw a bunch of John Cassavetes films, you know, which really opened up my world to a different kind of storytelling in film. And I think that's where it began. And then a couple years later, the year that Slacker and Poison were there at the festival, and I remember those two films, I think defined my sensibility in terms of what I responded to and what I loved in film. So it's pretty much from that point on, I wanted to explore, you know, the fringe of storytelling in film, and that's what I get into.
It's interesting you noted Cassavetes, because that kind of filmmaking is something that you're really attracted to as a programmer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think those you know, intimately personal stories, the ones that break all sort of, you know, stereotypes or preconceptions about characters' motivations and actions, you know, that's what I love. And I think that and thank God he's had such an influence that he has had, because I see a lot of filmmakers, you know, coming up now that, you know, you can tell that he was a huge influence on them. And I thank God for it.
But it's funny now, so you're talking about movies like Sex, Lies, and Videotape, and then the others you mentioned, Slacker. Mm-hmm. Those are now the films that people are imitating coming to Sundance. You're now programming films that were influenced by those films you saw when you first went.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. You know, we're showing Slacker this year at the festival. I think it's you know, 20th anniversary. And what's remarkable about that film is the influence it had. Richard Linklater, you know, was ahead of his time almost in really defining what American independent cinema would be for the next 20 years.
That period you're talking about, to me, is really the beginning of where I started. Filmmaking seemed to sort of really get away from what we think of as being the conventional Hollywood New York axis and moving into a more kind of a regional fulfillment in those days, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And that's what, you know, I think Sundance grew as a festival the way the, you know, American independent film movement grew. And I think a lot of it was the focus that we did put on discovering films and voices and filmmakers from outside of the main, you know, sort of areas like New York and L.A. And, you know, we did that with the festival and also with the labs. You know, Michelle Satter and her team there for years have really stretched themselves and looking to discover, you know, voices from all parts of the country. And I think that's really what has strengthened us over the years.
It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at KCRW.com. I'm talking to Trevor Groth, who's the director of programming at the Sundance Film Festival. You were talking about the labs. Explain for people who don't know what the labs are.
Yeah. Actually, Robert Redford began the Sundance Institute specifically for the labs, you know, the feature film program, where they develop and workshop screenwriters and directors to nurture, you know, storytellers that, you know, in the United States, there's not a lot of development resources for artists working in film, you know, outside of the, you know, the studio system. And so Redford, that was his vision. And the film festival came later when he realized that these artists were making these films, these unconventional films, and yet didn't have a place for them to connect with audiences. So he took over, actually it was the United States Film and Video Festival there in Park City in the 80s. And then he took it over in, I think, the mid-80s, and it became Sundance a little later on. So, Redford's...
20 years ago this year.
Yeah, exactly. Redford's vision, you know, really was about the labs first, and they are still going strong. And the names that have come through there is really a who's who of American independent filmmaking. People like Paul Thomas Anderson, Quentin Tarantino, Allison Anders, you know, the list goes on and on. And I think, you know, it's all due to Redford's commitment to developing those kind of storytellers.
But it's funny, too, because you will sometimes hear people talk about the almost pernicious influence of Sundance and those lamps, that, you know, people think that a film is branded in a certain way after it comes out, or it's shaped in a certain way by coming through those lamps. And does coming through those lamps give the film kind of a head start in terms of getting programmed into the festival? Hmm.
Yeah, that's a good question, especially for this year, since we have more lab films in the festival this year than we've ever had. But the truth is, they're not in there because they went through the Sundance labs. And in fact, quite the opposite. I believe as programmers, we're even harder on those films that come through the lab. And we've turned down many, many, many lab projects over the years. It was just this year, they all delivered, and they made it in on their own merits. And, you know, that's, we had to stay pure for that. When we start, you know, breaking down our programming ethics to make concessions for films like that, then the whole process falls apart. So we've broken a lot of hearts over the years for people that have their, you know, if you figure, you know, if I'm a filmmaker, I go through the Sundance Lab, I just assume I'm going to the Sundance Film Festival. And but that's not always the case.
One of the things that I've learned from the years I've been going to Sundance and since we've been friends is that it is a place that does seek to build community. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a place where people want to come back year in and year out. And I wonder if you think that's kind of a danger, if it builds a kind of an insularity.
Well, I think it's a potential danger if it does become insular. But what we always try to do is make it as open to anyone that wants to come and celebrate film. And, in, you know, in the mountains of Utah, we have an amazing ticketing office, and they work really hard to make sure that it's equitable and that everyone has a shot to see all of these films. And that's because that's how you build audiences. And I think that's one of the main roles of film festivals, is to expand audiences for these kinds of films. So if you just start to close those doors to potential film lovers, you're really doing a disservice to the industry, to the festival. The festival will cease to grow. And luckily, we've been, you know, very open to everyone coming. And that's why I think the festival's grown the way it has.
Well, one of the things you guys are doing in the past, I wonder if you're still doing it again this year, was reaching out to Salt Lake City to mm-hmm. really involve the state and let people who live in Utah see the movies. And I wonder if you're programming stuff this year that will play in both Sundance at Park City and Salt Lake City as well.
Yeah, we actually do a ton of programming in Salt Lake City. We screen at the Broadway theaters there and at the Tower Theater, which was funny, sort of a side story. The Tower Theater was where I grew up, you know, being introduced to some of my all-time favorite films. It's sort of the local art house there in Salt Lake City, and it's where I first saw, you know, Wings of Desire and all of these films that really kind of, you know, opened up my world. And so it's great for us to partner with them. And we also screen films in Ogden as well, and at the Sundance Resort. You know, all those are outside of Park City. So we have a locals ticket package that, you know, locals have a chance to buy tickets that others don't. So it's a big component of what we do there, and we have great support from the state and Salt Lake City.
You're listening to The Treatment, which you can also hear at KCRW.com. I'm talking to Trevor Groth, Director of Programming at the Sundance Film Festival. Can you tell when the year is going to be a boom year as you're putting things together, or you find yourself as surprised as not? Because it's when you're picking the films and you're always excited about them. You're always, when you tell me about these things, I can hear and see that gleam in your eyes as you talk about them. But do you realize that can you tell some years are going to be bigger than other years?
Not necessarily. And I sort of divide that up into two ways of looking at it, both at the festival, you know, how the films play at the festival and the impact they have on audiences there.
And then that's an important distinction to make, isn't it?
And then how they do afterwards. Exactly. It is. And it doesn't always equate. There have been some years where films played like gangbusters at the festival and it seemed like, wow, it's going to be a huge year in film. And then they kind of went quietly into the night afterwards. But last year was one of those perfect sort of years that we hope to replicate this year, where films popped at the festival. There was generated a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz. And then that carried over into the marketplace. There was I think probably the highest number of films ever that were very successful. I feel really strong about the lineup this year. I think we have an equally, you know, exciting year this year that we did last. So hopefully that'll come true.
What are some of those films coming up this year?
Well, we have, you know, Morgan Spurlock is back with a film called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold.
We should remind people that he directed Supersize.
Correct, Supersize Me. And this film, The Greatest Movie Ever Sold, is about product placement. But the concept is he want to make a documentary about product placement, but in funding it only through product placement. It's not a critique of it, or else he wouldn't get the people to do it. So it's really just about being transparent in all the ways that it does affect, you know, art and our entertainment. And it's really funny. Another film that one of my favorites is actually a new one from Steve James, of course, who made Hoop Dreams. But it's great to have him back with his new film called The Interrupters, which is about these ex-gang members in Chicago who are doing everything they can to help these young kids break the cycle of these gang violence. And they will actually just confront them, you know, on the street in the middle of some, you know, unruly behavior, and they try to just, you know, shake them up and make them learn from their past, you know, mistakes. And it's another long. I think it's about a little over 2 hours, but it's, you know, Steve James at his best, you know, and working on the streets of Chicago, and it's a terrific film. And he's, you know, people like Morgan Spurlock, Steve James, Liz Garbus, Randy Barbato, and Fenton Bailey. You know, these documentarians who have been coming to the festival with a number of films over the years now have this proper spotlight in our doc premiere section.
Well, it's like the Sundance All-Stars, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, you know. And across the board, actually, we have a lot of filmmakers coming back this year that, you know, really began their careers at Sundance. People like Kevin Smith has a new film here. Mark Pellington has a new film. Miguel Arteta, Tom McCarthy. And for me, that gets me very excited because, you know, Sundance is always about discovery, and we have plenty of new first-time filmmakers in the festival as well. But I love supporting these guys who are continuing to work in this arena because it's so hard to get these movies made. And just because, you know, you're not that first-time filmmaker who's going to, you know, break out, it doesn't mean you don't need a platform like Sundance to showcase your films. It's going to be a nice sort of family reunion feel at the festival with all these guys coming back.
And we'll take a break. My guest is Trevor Groth. He's director of programming at the Sundance Film Festival. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. There's more to come.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back to The Treatment. This is the second half of the show. My guest is Trevor Groth, who's the director of programming for the Sundance Film Festival. Well, you were talking before about people coming back to Sundance, and Vera Farmiga is coming back in the dramatic competition with a film she's directed and starring in, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I've been a huge fan of hers for a long time. You know, I first really kind of knew her in the film Down to the Bone, actually, Deborah Granik's film that was at the festival. And Vera won a special acting prize for that. And now to have her back with this, with the film that I've always found in her, Vera's performances, she had such a sort of rich and soulful and has such depth to her characters. And so I had this high expectation that her film directing would have the same qualities, and it sure does. It's a rare film that shows a woman's journey through life and all of the points of that she has, where she has to choose, you know, these big life choices, and how do you come to those, whether it's through spirituality or individuality or love or, you know, all of these things. And but it's one of many films this year that touches on that topic of faith and religion. It was, you know, I usually once every year when we lock our program, I'm doing interviews, and people, one of the big questions is, all right, were there any themes in the festival this year? And almost always I try to discourage that line of questioning, because it's all these films are individual, and to try to associate them, it always seemed to like lessen the impact of every one of them individually. So, but this year we kind of have to acknowledge the fact that there are a group of them that tackle this subject in different ways. But I'm curious to get for people to see all of these films so that the dialogue can happen around why, you know, what is it, what's happening in the world right now that's causing these filmmakers to explore religion and personal faith and redemption. I'm curious for people to see the films.
I wonder if you get a sense of the kind of personality that Sundance has as a programming entity as compared to other festivals when you travel.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, the festivals that make it, you know, that last, that stand the test of time, all have, I think, a personality. I think those are the ones that end up people want to go to. And, you know, I was in Venice for the first time, and it lived up to its sort of reputation. You know, it was in all the glorious and not so glorious ways, but it was amazing. And I think Sundance, you know, it takes on the life of, I think, two things. The region, you know, being in a ski town in Utah, you know, it has an intimate quality that a lot of other major festivals maybe don't have, which I think is really one of our strengths. People, you know, everyone's riding the shuttles together, slogging through the snow, waiting in lines to go see these films. But also it's Redford's vision. You know, he was always about, he started it for filmmakers. We've stayed true to that. It's a place for storytellers working in film to find a place to showcase their work and to feel nurtured and provided for. And I think those two things really give Sundance its identity. And, you know, hopefully the programming does as well. You know, I've got an amazing staff, you know, all of our senior programmers there. And of course, John Cooper, who leads us all. We work really hard, and we care about every film we watch, whether we end up selecting it or not. And I think hopefully that hard work pays off and the passion pays off in terms of the selections we make, and it keeps us moving forward.
It's The Treatment. My guest is Trevor Groth, who's the director of programming at the Sundance Film Festival. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. One of the things I always thought that makes Sundance so distinctive is that a number of the venues aren't theaters. So that changes the way you experience the movies, that changes the way you go into the movies. I mean, I think that's one of those things that has a very subtle way of sort of making people deal with the theater experience very differently. For example, when you're in the high school auditorium.
Yeah, it's true. We use high school auditoriums. We use a converted, you know, library. You know, I do think that adds a lot of flavor to the experience. And, you know, I remember specifically a couple of screenings before I started working for Sundance that I equate to that theater because they're so distinctive. I remember actually I saw Cinema Paradiso in the Prospector Theater, which is one of the hotels there in Park City. We converted sort of this ballroom space. But seeing this film that is such about the love of cinema and me being in this mountain town in Utah, seeing this film in this converted ballroom, but just all for the love of cinema. I remember it every time I walk into the Prospector. I remember that screening, and same with seeing Slacker in the Egyptian Theater, which is sort of the iconic theater there on Main Street in Park City. I do think that adds to it, and they all, you know, we work really hard to make sure that the technical side of things works well, since they are converted, and we have this guy Chapin Cutler, you know, from Boston Light and Sound, who does an incredible job there, and Sarah Pierce, our director of operations. They, you know, they do take these strange spaces to be watching films in and create a great screening environment.
Because that's one of the things that you don't really get until you go to Sundance for the first time. You're seeing a movie at the library, which is where I saw my first film at 99. It just does when you realize you're not there in a place that's just about these theaters, but it's about the space in which people get together to watch movies.
Yeah, well, and like you said, you know, earlier, Sundance is so much about that community, and I think really that's what we do very well, is we provide spaces for people to connect with each other, because the two main things we hope people do at the festival is see films and talk about films. And so that's what we really focus on. We create venues to get as many people in those seats as possible, and then we provide, you know, venues for them to share their collective reactions to the films. We have like our Sundance House and our Filmmaker Lodge and the headquarters there at Marriott. All these, you know, these environs where people can go and talk about the films. And even if, you know, I love just any passionate reaction to a film, even if people, you know, hated a film, I love to hear that, and I love to talk to those people. So I always encourage anyone that wants to share their opinions about any of our programming, you know, choices, come find me in Park City and we can talk about it. I don't need to tell people that. They do that anyway.
I guess my producer just told me you have a story about the Kevin McDonald movie.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that one up too. It's it's called Life in a Day, and it's a project that was pitched to us from Kevin McDonald and Ridley Scott, working in conjunction with YouTube to make a film that is a user-generated film, meaning they sent out a request for people to document their lives on July 24th of this past year. Then they would edit it down, all of those, you know, submissions, edit it down into a 90-minute documentary, kind of showcasing what life on this planet is all about right now. And, you know, they cover everything from birth to death, and from all parts of the globe and everything in between. And it's an amazing experience. It blew me away. They did such an incredible job. And I can't wait for people to see it. And what's unique about what they're doing is they're going to premiere it at the festival on the second Thursday of the festival, and then simultaneously broadcast it out on YouTube for a period of 24 hours. Anyone can have access to watch this. So it's really going to be a globally collective cinematic experience, which is something we're very excited about. It's something we've been looking at doing, you know, since last year when we started our Sundance USA, where we take one film and take it to another city in the United States during the festival to try and engage those art house audiences all over the U.S. with what's happening in Park City. So we love this idea of taking that energy and all of that, the cinematic expression, and busting it out of Park City out there into the world. So this was a perfect experiment for us to do, and I can't wait for people to see it.
It's The Treatment. I'm talking to my friend Trevor Groth, who is the director of programming at the Sundance Film Festival. As you're talking, one of the things that's interesting about this, has always been interesting to me about Sundance, is the idea of basically expanding the idea of what a theater space is. And through Sundance USA, when you guys are programming films during the festival that are playing the festival in other cities, what you're saying in effect is that we can't stick to the 20th century definition of what film is, playing in a theater, only available to people who are there at this festival, that you're trying to find ways to expand and change the definition of a film festival in general and Sundance specifically.
Yeah, we are. And it's something we're taking that on, as, you know, Sundance, for many years, we were able to help filmmakers out to get their film seen by audiences by showing their films to distributors who would come to Sundance, acquire them, and distribute them. And it worked out great for a very long time. It served everyone very well. But the world is changing, and the way people are digesting film is changing. The way people have access to it is changing. The tools that people have to make it are changing. And it's vital for us, I think, as a festival to evolve, not with, I think, what's happening in the world right now or in the industry, but ahead of it. I think Sundance, we need to lead that charge because we've been given a lot of very privileged place in the film world right now in terms of all the support we've had and all of the, you know, opportunities we have. And we need to utilize that to help out these filmmakers.
Well, as we're talking, you remind me of basically the way I've really gotten to know you over the past few years, and that was through your association as the artistic director of Cine Vegas. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you did with that festival was really kind of say basically – that a film festival is any place you can be plant down roots, even in the mm-hmm. most unlikely of spaces, mm-hmm. Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. You can make a thriving film festival and bring people out for it. And mm-hmm. I just wonder I think we're all wondering what incarnation Cine Vegas has ahead, and also want to have you talk about somebody we both know, although you got to know him a lot mm-hmm. better than me, Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, he was such a huge part of that festival. In fact, I actually took his spirit and infused it into the festival when he came out to Cine Vegas one year. We gave him a career achievement award, and he fell in love with the festival and wanted to be involved. And I was so lucky to have his leadership there because it gave me clarity about what Cine Vegas needed to be. And it was really taking Dennis's, you know, sort of outlaw spirit. He challenged conventions and shook the system, and that's what Cine Vegas became. It was always hard to kind of put it in words, but I always kind of thought Cine Vegas was all about sort of punk art films. You know, we embraced films that had like really kind of low tech gutter trash qualities, like, you know, from Giuseppe Andrews, who's making these video films in his trailer park, to, you know, people like Jonas Åkerlund doing Spun, you know, which was, you know, at the time, and Don Coscarelli doing Bubba Hotep. You know, there were all of these films that were very different if you looked at them side by side, but they all had this kind of crazy outlaw spirit, and that came from Dennis and his leadership and his vision for what the festival needed to be. And so you know, with his passing and not doing Cine Vegas this past year, it was tough, and I do believe it will come back one day. You know, Danny and Robin Greenspun, who really were the visionaries, you know, originally behind trying to do a festival in Las Vegas, they, you know, they want to bring it back, and I think as if the economy sort of, you know, starts to get back on its feet a little bit, I think it was working, and I think there's so much support around it that I think it'll come back, and we'll definitely have Dennis, you know, living on with it.
Well, we're out of time. Trevor, thanks so much for doing this.
Of course. It was my pleasure. Thanks, Elvis.
My guest is my friend Trevor Groth, the director of programming of the Sundance Film Festival and still artistic director of Cine Vegas in Las Vegas. Our recording engineer at KCRW in Santa Monica is Mario Diaz, with assistance from Paul Ruest at Argo Studios. The show was mixed by J.C. Swadek. It's edited and produced by Gemma Dempsey. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.